Today, we move into the second reality. We are studying in our church, experiencing God. And as we have been studying, we know now that we have seven realities that are there, maybe we are aware or not. And today, I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about the second reality, is that God pursues a continued love relationship with you that is real and personal. Now, these realities are that the first one is that God is at work at all time. God is working all the time when we are at work, when we are asleep, when we are with our neighbors and friends, when we are on holidays. But the second reality is that he pursues a personal love relationship with you and with me and with everyone. And at some points in our lives, the third reality is that he will invite us to have that relationship. In order to do that, the next reality, he will speak to you through the Bible, through circumstances. And when he speaks, you will be led to a crisis of belief. Is that real? No, I cannot do that. And the next reality is that we need to adjust. And only when we adjust and we obey, the seventh reality is there. We experience God. But this morning, I just want to share with you about how God pursues a personal relationship with you. Before we read the two verses I have this morning, let me give you the context. And the context of the words of Jesus is that the Pharisees gathered themselves together to confront Jesus with questions. So they decided to use a lawyer. Somebody perhaps who was crafty, who knew more about how to trap Jesus, how to catch him. And maybe he was the most learned and expert on scriptural and rabbinical law, and he is there. Now, the context is this. Over the years, all these religious leaders, the rabbis, have determined that as in the commandments, there were 613 letters, and also they have 613 laws in the Pentateuch, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They were 613 laws. You know what they did? They divided the 613 laws into 248 affirmative laws. They have to do with the part of a human body. And also, they have 365 negative laws for each day of the year. And also, they divided this law into heavy and light. So the heavy ones, they were the ones absolutely biting, and the light ones less biting. So the religious, this is the context. So we have all these laws on the earth, 613. So they sent this man, and he asked the question. Because they said, if Jesus says something wrong, he's going to get it wrong, because he has so many. And he said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, shall we read it? Love you. So I want you to think that's the context in Jesus' answer. And perhaps this morning we are going to learn something about that. Let us pray. Father, we place into your hands our time together. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want to know more about you, Lord. Father, may your Holy Spirit come and lead us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. That is what God wants. He wants our love. This is what Jesus is teaching. You know, we have throughout the Bible, is that God loves us. New Testament, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. He loves us. Now, the point is not that we love God, but he loves us first. Now, this is very important because this is an eternal love. We have been created for eternity. So if I love God, he's going to love me for eternity. Hence, it's very important for us to love God. Now, the question is, how to love the Lord? We know that God loves us. How to love the Lord? And today, I'm going to be using a sermon from Moses. I'm going to be using the same words in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And today, by the way, have your Bible ready because I'm going to be reading a few verses and they will be on the screen. And because they will be not my words, but from the Bible. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we have the same words of Jesus. And this is Moses and in his sermon. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Moses is 120 years old. And these are his last sermons. And he starts teaching the people of Israel about everything. And particularly about loving God. Many Bible scholars say, well, this is about the law. It's just the law. Here we have tips and advice how to love the Lord. And his sermon starts in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And he started his sermon. Moses summoned all Israel and said, hear Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in you hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. He's an old man. But he's giving us instructions about loving God. God doesn't want just our worship. God doesn't want us our service. He doesn't want only our respect. He wants our love. It's a tragedy when many people, perhaps they serve the Lord, they honor the Lord, but they don't love him. And the first lesson is worship. The first lesson of instructions is about worship. So I invite you to open your Bibles and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, as I said, this is a sermon starting verse 5 and carries on chapter 6. And now he says in verse 7 and 8, you shall not have other gods. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You know why he's saying that? You don't have to have that because I am a faithful God. I care for you. You don't need anything else. Psalm 115, by the way, that is not I'm going to share, but in the evenings we are studying Psalm 115. Psalm 115 says that the psalmist explained how Israel, people were saying, where is your God? Where is your God? And then in verse 3 he says, our God is in where? In heavens. And he will do whatever he pleases. People cannot see our God because our God is invisible. Our God is eternal. Our God is almighty. But many people, says the Bible, they have gods and idols. All of us, we have been created as a worshipper's being. So we have been created to worship. So if we don't worship the real God, we are going to find a substitute. So if, for example, if a person says, well, God is not absolute, you are going to be worshiping something else. You know, in our idols today, humanism, secularism, atheism, God is not there, so people worship those idols. Moses says worship is important, just the real God. You know why? Because he wants your worship. And he carries on saying, you shall not. Shall we read this verse 11 together? Now, the Hebrew language says, you shall not lift up my name in vain. Many people think this is about swearing only, you know. making an oath and say, I swear by God. No, includes that, but it's not that only. This is about superficial worship, insincere worship. Our heart is not engaged. We need sincerity. Everything starts in worship. Worship is a priority. You know, when you sing a song and then you are feeling the words, you are feeling the lyrics, I cannot sing some songs. My heart goes and my tears come. It's not, you know, because I feel it. Sometimes you go to churches and people are lost in worship. But it's not only about putting a face. We need to feel it. That is what God said. Don't come to my church. Don't come to my temple with insincere worship. We need to be lost in worship. Moses said, is the first thing you love God, you need to worship. Let me carry on just to understand. Let's carry on with this sermon. As I was preparing, as I was excited, maybe, you know, you were standing before Moses and Moses is giving this instruction. He says, verse 12, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. Observe the Sabbath when worship is what? It's present. In these communities, in those days, everything was about the Sabbath. So they will work, they will prepare everything, but on the Sabbath, they will do what? They will worship. They will sing, they will read the scriptures. Everything was about God. But if we have the Lord's Day, and we use the Lord's Day to do something else, that is not sincere worship. Because on that day is his business. So Moses is saying, if you cannot worship, you cannot keep the Sabbath holy, how you are going to be worship Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? You cannot keep it. The Lord says, keep it holy. You love me, keep it holy. Everything starts on the Lord's Day. Somebody said, whoa, that's the Sabbath? Well, our Sabbath is Sunday. Why? Because the early church stopped celebrating Saturday Sabbath and instead began keeping the first day of the week. Because that was the day on which Christ rose from the dead. This was done with the approval of the authority of the apostle. Christ appointed teachers. And then Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about the resurrection. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you set aside some of money in keeping with his income. And he talks about the worship on the Lord's Day. We need to keep it. We need to remember the Sabbath day. Do you love the Lord? You need to worship. Worship is essential. Now, the second point here, the instructions is obedience. Now, throughout the Bible, is repeated obedience. And Moses, in his sermon in chapter 6, verse 2, says, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy what? Long life. We are to obey the Lord. If we obey, we are going to be blessed. The moment we disobey, the blessing is not there. Keep it. Now, what is the connection here? What is it? What is happening here? What has obedience to the commandments of God and love of God have to do with loving him? Well, we repeat and repeat these verses from Jesus. Jesus says, because somebody said, well, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is gloomy. The Old Testament just passed. Jesus is about loving. Jesus is a loving one. But these are the words of Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. In verse 23, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. You know, sometimes it's those who have been in the forces, they understand what is the word obey. If you were there And Matt was there, and he was my recruit. I said, Matt, you need to do that. What you have to do? You're going to do it. That's it. Now, Matt could come back to me and say, wait a minute. We can do it this way. I think that's better. That's obedience. That's not obedience. That's what Jesus is talking about here. We open the Word of God, and we're saying, you know what? In the first century, that was relevant. Nowadays, we cannot do that. That's no obedience. The church will be closed. The cities will be doomed. And the country will be taken in captivity. If we do that. As simple as that. Because he's, you remember the verse that we read before? You will enjoy long life. Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. It is clear the connection. Obedience to God is essential. The moments we sing, the moments we cut corners, the moments we says, oh, this is, I think this is the way. Well, he will abandon us. Our peace will not be there. The Holy Spirit will come and will go. We will be on our own. On the other hand, when we love the Lord, we want to please him. We will honor him. We seek holiness. Worship and obedience are vital. But in our journey, we're going to find bumps. On our journey, we're going to find obstacles. Do you believe that? That's the reality. That's the reality. My friends, Moses says to them, do not, shall we read this verse together? Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not. The King James Version says, you shall not tempt the Lord. The journey of the Israelites, they left Egypt and they were on a journey and they were going to the promised land. They needed water. That is the context of that verse. And they doubted. We want it now. We want it now. That's what they were saying. Don't tempt the Lord. You know what happened to these people? You know. They died. Don't, on your journey, say Moses, you love him, you worship. Don't tempt the Lord. Tempted, challenge is equal to challenge him. The Lord Jesus used the same words with Satan. You remember the same words? We want it. We press the Lord. I am guilty of that many times. A few weeks ago, many of you knew that my father was really unwell. He was about to lose his voice. And then he was put on a list to have an operation next year. And many things happened, you know, many things happened at the same time in my family. And that day, I didn't have the car. It was broken. I had the opportunity to walk up the hill. And I'm being honest to you. And I was about to challenge the Lord. Lord, my father has been your servant. What happened? But I was quiet. And tears were on my... And I said, no, I will not challenge you. I will not challenge you. You know what? My father had the operation. I don't know where the money came from. My father now is preaching again. Sunday mornings, he has 80 children in the Sunday school. And he have another Sunday school in a poor area. 30 children. My father is keep on... And people saying, what happened to this man? He's 76. He said, I'm not going to retire. And he sounds clear. You see my point? Do we want things now? I want to get married, and if you are young, and you say, I want to get married to this man, I'm going to pray for that, or this woman, you pray. You want it now, be careful. Don't challenge the Lord. You want to do a business, and you want it now. You want the church to grow like now. They will not happen like that. We need to work hard. We need to be humble. We need to get there. I hear testimonies of people. A preacher was in New York, 7 years in his church, only 2 or 3 people. Now it's a vibrant church. My friends, Moses says, don't challenge me. Worship and obedience. Do what is right. Shall we read that? Obedience brings holiness. Holiness is not just avoiding the wrong, but also doing the good things, being sensitive. We just share. And then we carry, I don't have so much time. If you really want to learn more about this sermon, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2 to 3, he gives the instructions. You know, you go to this land, do not mix with these people. People have to see that you are different. You are different, my friends. You know, but sadly nowadays, we cannot identify who are the Christians. We look, we act like anybody else. People are to be obedient, not only indeed, but they are only have to be distinctive. That's a Christian. But we are to be in this world, but not to be of this world. And Moses carries on. My third point is that the Lord must be our concern and goal. Shall we say that? The Lord. Moses says, impress them on your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them a symbol on your hands and binding on your forehead, writing on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, this is our objective. He's our goal. Now, the people of Israel, this happened 100 years before Jesus was born. The U.S. leaders developed this system. Have you seen these pictures? They put the scriptures on the doors. They put the scriptures on the front, you know, in their forefront. They put it on their body. They took it literally. You know? But the verse before says, these commandments I give you today to be where? On your hearts. On your hearts. Love me. They were not supposed to be literally. Whatever I am about to do, I need to consider my conduct. This is all about. I'm going to do that. Is that okay for the Lord? It's in my heart. It's not to be on the door as an ornament. To be that people can see, oh, wow, how holy he is. And somebody was joking about, because that was supposed to be all the law, 613 laws. I don't think so that they can put 613 laws in a little bit. You cannot do that. In your heart, for the believers, the objective is to please the Lord. You know why? Because we love him. Finally, we are called to remember the Lord's mercy. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of these stipulations, decrees, and law, the Lord, our God, has commanded you, tell them, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Tell them all the wonders. You know, I love telling stories. Because when I hear real stories, I remember that the Lord has been. Do you have testimonies in your life? Share those testimonies with your family. Share those testimonies with your church. Remember. When we come here and we have communion, we do this in remembrance of him. And for the people of Israel, Moses says to them, hey, tell your children that the Lord did not set affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all people, but it was because, what? The Lord loved you. If you have faith, if you have hope, it's not because you are clever, not because you do many things, it's because the Lord loves you. We are going to heaven, not because we come to church, because we have been christened, we have been baptized, is because we have accepted the love of Jesus in our lives. Remember how much he loved you. You know what? When we remember, okay, it's not because I am good, it's because he loves me, it makes you humble. And when we are humble, we serve. Let me conclude by repeating the verse that Jesus says. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." This is the words of Moses. And I want you to notice something. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Have you noticed that there is a different word there? In the New Testament, we have heart, soul, and mind. But the heart in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word indicates not just the seat of emotions, but the mind also. And so Jesus, when he quoted in the New Testament, interpreted in that way. So he has the heart, and he has what? The mind, because the two are condensed in one. Now, when we think of the heart, we think of emotions. That is us. But when the Hebrews thought of the heart, they thought of the emotions and mind as well. So Jesus says, love him in your thinking. Love him, you know, with your affection, with your heart. Love him in the things that you are going to do, with your mind. In all your plans, consider the Lord. Love him. You must love him with the hymns of worship. Mean what you say. Serve him in all your hardships. And employ your mind, your heart, and trust him. This is what Jesus is saying. But he says then, love him with your soul. What is the difference between the first part and the second? He said, love him with your soul. Well, the soul indicates the spiritual aspect of your being, your prayers, your worship. You know, when your soul when everyone deserted you, when everyone disappoints you, when your world is upside down, you don't want to pray. You don't want to come to church. Who comes? Your soul. Jesus says, your soul will help you to pray. Your soul will help you to carry on. That is what Jesus is saying. When your mind, you say, well, what is this happening? When your heart, I don't feel I want to go to that church. I don't feel I want to carry on. Your soul will help you. Your soul will help you to worship. Have you noticed when you are praying and you just going to pray, what happened in your mind? You start thinking, oh dear, what happened to my daughter, to my son? Oh, the cat is there. Oh, the dog is there. The postman. Have you noticed that? Who is that who help you? Your soul. The soul will help you to pray when everything is wrong. Resist the devil, my friend, when you feel like that. Love the Lord. Keep his commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. John MacArthur says, genuine love of the Lord is intelligent, feeling, willing, and serving. It involves thought, sensitivity, intent, and even action where that is possible and appropriate. God has never sought either empty words or empty rituals. Jesus says, love him with your mind, with your soul, with your strength. God, how to love the Lord? Moses says, worship. Even when you feel you don't want to worship the Lord. Second, obey him. Obey him. Oh my goodness, I don't like these verses. Obey him. The Lord must be our concern. Even in your workplace, you are serving a horrible person, just serve him. Serve her because you are serving the Lord. And finally, we are called to remember the Lord's mercy. If people love perfectly as the Lord commanded, there will be no need of law, because the person who loves others will never do them harm. In the same way, the believer who loves the Lord with all his or her being will never take his name in vain. You will never have insincere worship because you love him. You will never worship idols. And you will never fail to obey because you will remember what he has done for you. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this sermon of Moses that help us to know how to love you. Father, help us to worship you regardless the circumstance. Help us to bring sincere worship for your glory here in Penrith, in all our churches. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word, because the consequences are so sad if we don't do it. Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know that you are always there for us, Lord. Help us to remember you, and help us, you, to be the center of our life, the center of our family, the center of our church, the center of this city, the center of this country. And help us, Lord, to tell other generations what Moses says, that we are to worship you, that we are to obey you, that we are to remember that you are a loving God. Father, I pray for that person this morning that feels that he or she is inadequate to come to you, that he or she will realize that you are a loving God and you accept us as we are. So, Father, thank you for your word this morning. We pray your blessing upon us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.